Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 298.
First try.
There we go.
Good job.
Sure, we'll call it that.
Yeah.
The gang is all here.
That's right. We're back together.
Everybody's back together. So we will go around the table, and everyone that you already know can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Kevin, do you have a new last name now since you're married?
Or the marriage certificate takes a week or so to process, and then I have to go get it.
No, it doesn't. You should already have that, Kevin. Don't downplay it.
No, the signed one, they have to send it in, then you have to get it back. You can't just...
He's trying to delay the inevitable.
I know.
Kevin,
yeah.
Kevin broken.
So you're waiting on what I like to refer to as your non-hunting license.
That's right. you're no longer allowed to hunt.
Yes.
License.
Yes. At least...
I feel like if that was a thing, Kevin be like the guy that paid for the safari that they already killed the animal.
Wow.
We have him, he's like, no, it's cool. I got him myself. It's
like,
no big
like
deal.
Like the Jimmy Jones guy?
Yeah, right.
We have him trapped in this 4x4 area.
Yeah.
Good luck, sir.
Here's your musket.
Yeah. Here's your bazooka. Good luck.
It's on the Kevorkian machine, and all you got to do is just like push the button.
I got it. Yeah.
All me. I did it all by myself.
See, the mistake is that you'd think I would be doing something naturey at all.
We weren't talking about nature, Kevin.
Sure.
You're doing it from inside the air conditioned safari.
When they build the monorail that goes through the safari,
it's
you
too
tell
hot
me
to go outside.
Via drone.
I'm not doing it. Yeah, via drone.
That's how I am. When we went on our vacation, we were in Colorado, and like the one time we took the train in Durango, which is really cool. I highly recommend it. And it was funny because people were like, wow, you're doing something naturey. I'm like, I'm in the first class car in a cushion, like first class style, like airplane seat.
Right.
And it's not air conditioned because you're going up a mountain, so it's cool. But it's like they bring you beverages.
Take care of you.
You've just ruined it.
Yeah.
You should have just left it at train.
Was there just
Durango.
Was there like a haze over Colorado? Like it looks like smog, but it's,
green haze.
But it's not smog.
Yeah. It was funny. I had a moment where driving through, I forget where it was, but somewhere in Colorado, and this shows you what a nerd I am. So I see a strip mall, and in the strip mall there's a store called The Secret Stash, and I was like, oh, we need to pull over. It's Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash.
That's
it's Kevin
hilarious.
Smith's comic book store. And then I'm like, oh wait. I'm in Colorado.
No, it's not.
That is not tongue-in-cheek.
No.
They are really going to sell you weed. Yeah. So
yes. Any sort of cannabis product they can.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah. I was very disappointed.
No. Kevin Smith might have been there.
Well, yeah, because he likes weed now.
That's true. Yeah.
He's discovered the weed.
He got that bad review for Zach and Miri, and he was like... Oh, well.
Thank you, Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
We owe Seth Rogen for Tusk and yeah. The convenience store girls.
Yeah.
And,
what was that? Yoga Hosers.
Yoga Hosers.
Did you ever watch that again?
I did.
Oh, would I watch Yoga Hosers again? No.
I just...
not really.
Yeah.
No.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. Thanks.
So
I might watch Tusk again, but not Yoga Hosers.
Tusk was okay.
Tusk was weird.
It had some weird.
It's a weird movie.
It was weird, but I liked it.
It was weird, but when I think about it more and more, like I think about it, I'm like, that was pretty cool.
I do remember
like,
seeing it, and there's the scene where they reveal the walrus, and I'm just like, am I supposed that, to? I don't know what I'm supposed to
yes,
do right now.
That's the one.
Am I supposed
I
to be freaked out, or am I supposed to be laughing?
That was the worst part because you didn't know. I was the same as that point because I reveal it, no music or anything, and it's there, and you're like,
there he is.
Funny? Scary?
I don't know. There's a little bit of both.
The top's still spinning.
So anyway, we are all back together. How about that? It's been a while. Shameless plugs. Don't forget, you can review us on iTunes, find us there, all that stuff. You can find our Facebook page at facebook.com/theclipout, or you can
The clip out.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
All right, Mr. Moneybags.
I got the podcast wrong. Kevin will fix that in post.
No, he won't.
He'll want to embarrass me for getting it wrong. Yeah. I've almost done it on that podcast a couple times.
Well, that's fine. That's all right. Okay.
So
I should not talk about the Carney show.
I don't have to enter
all
that.
Secret loves.
I don't have to enter
not
that.
So secret yeah. loves.
So should we explain what that is if you're going to leave it in? So people
oh,
know?
Sure.
Okay, so my wife bought a fancy spin bike. You can't say spin because it's actually trademarked by the
is
people.
That right?
Yeah, that people owe them spin bike. So she bought a spin bike that's not a spin bike and a new fancy company called Peloton with a monitor and it does a fix to it. It does live streaming. She loves it and it's kind of almost like the Apple of fitness. Like people love it. It has this like cult-like community. So she started a podcast called The Clip Out that's about nothing but that bike.
Where does the clip out come from? What does that mean?
When the shoes you wear to get onto the bike, you clip in, you clip out.
I gotcha.
So,
that's pretty good.
Right. Hit the music.
Yeah. It has a very catchy theme song if you want to go listen to it.
It
does.
Explains it.
Yeah, it does have a very catchy theme song.
Which I was not consulted on.
Oh,
so.
Well.
I feel like,
this is where,
like
this is where the rift happens. This is
it's the beginning of the end.
Yeah. Just dangle a bag of Doritos in front of the rider and they'll go for days.
Nope, just one giant Dorito. Yeah. That's what we have to have.
This is like when Steve Perry went off and made his solo album.
That nobody remembers?
No, that was O'Sherry was
huge.
On that.
Oh,
huge.
So
wait. Strung Out. There's another big song off of that, too. But
I'm
then
thinking
he had
of
that,
the guy from Aerosmith.
And then he had that Kenny Loggins duet.
Yeah.
Which was Don't Fight It.
Don't Fight It. That's it. That's a great song.
Is it a good song?
Is it in any...
But it's just weird.
Does it take place in any action movies?
No.
As a montage song?
It should. But it's weird because it's Kenny Loggins and Steve Perry. And it's a good song, but you're like... Is there some subtext to this song that right. I'm not seeing? Because I think
you are seeing it. That's
but I'm like, did they mean this?
Yeah.
Like the manager should have said, it's a great song. People might think something else.
Right, yeah.
Did he do I'm All Right?
That was Kenny Loggins, right? I'm All Right. Yeah, okay, with Eddie Money, but he never credited Eddie Money.
Really?
Eddie Money sings all the low stuff in that song.
Oh.
Yeah. But, but the Steve Perry thing, Steve Perry and... was it Neil Schon? They were like, let's go do solo albums. We'll take a break from Journey. We'll do solo albums. And so Neil Schon's like, okay, I don't want to eat into Journey,
right.
to the Journey cash cow. So he did like this kind of like, I don't know, like a jazz fusion or a really like guitar nerd type album.
He also did Schon and Hammer.
Yeah. Dude. And
which had a good song that did not sound... It was like a kind of a rock...
Right.
Jan Hammer from Miami Vice.
Yeah.
And
the theme song from Miami Vice?
He did a Miami Vice, composer.
I had that on record.
And they had a song called Lies.
Okay, yeah.
It was like a rock song, but it had no way did it sound like a Journey song.
Right. And then Steve Perry went and made a Steve Perry solo album that sounded just like Journey.
So much like Journey.
And that was kind of the beginning of the end of Journey.
Like when you said Steve Perry, I was like... Joe Perry went off and did it.
Yes, he did too.
I thought he did too. And you were like, no, it's really good. I was like, are we talking about the same guy?
I don't remember.
I feel like those Joe Perry albums weren't good.
He did two. No, one was good. And he did the song Let the Music Do the Talking, which
ended up on an Aerosmith album because it was so good.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, but that was originally on a Joe Perry solo.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway.
This has been your classic rock break on KC95.
So anyway, so Crystal started a podcast about the Peloton bike, which is doing very well. It is called The Clip Out. So sometimes I forget. And you just get into
there's
that,
so many podcasts.
You get into that rhythm.
You're like the Kevin Smith of Real Spoilers. You're just doing so many.
Is that a fat joke?
No.
Is that a weed joke? I don't smoke weed.
I don't smoke weed.
So anyway, that explains the snafu there. So sorry about that. If you would like to follow this show on the social media, you can find us at facebook.com/ Real Spoilers, or on Twitter at Real Spoilers, or on the internet at realspoilers.com or dirtypiratehookers.com.
So many options.
So there we go.
We're like the Kevin Smith podcast.
That's right. Yeah. More like a podcast domains, I guess. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, so there. I've done all that stuff, and we will now tackle War for the Planet of the Apes. It's a lot of prepositions
there's
in that
a lot.
Title.
So we have been, I have never seen the other ones.
Have or
really?
Have?
Have not.
Well, but
oh,
we did an episode. You didn't see. Are you talking about the originals?
No, the originals.
Oh, okay.
No. I mean, like War and Rise and.
You've seen the ones in this franchise.
Yes, I've never seen.
Hold on. I just want to just give them the stink eye a little bit longer.
Yeah. No.
Well, you can throw some stink eye over here. I think I've only seen the first two of that franchise.
I've never seen.
Okay.
I've never seen. Okay. I know that they exist. I've probably seen bits and pieces of it.
It would be weird if
it would be weird. It's like, these are movies? I didn't know. These are brilliant original ideas. Why has nobody thought of this? But no, I've never.
Have you seen the Tim Burton?
I did see the Tim Burton one. And like, that's the one to me that. So like, Tim Burton was one of those directors that I could do without. Like, okay, you did Batman, Beetlejuice, Sleepy Hollow, Batman Returns.
Edward Scissorhands.
Edward Scissorhands.
Ed
too.
Wood.
Ed
he's
Wood.
Made some great movies.
He has made some. But like, Planet of the Apes to me is the one where I was like,
no, that
I just
was,
gave the proverbial middle. You can't see that on this podcast, but that was the beginning of the end for me where I was like, I'm never. Yeah. Tim Burton to me is it. I'm done with Tim Burton.
What's interesting is you had never seen the first one, so I wonder came from when
it's
he made.
Because that movie was just garbage.
Well, and that movie.
I wasn't pissed
movie
because.
Had so many. I mean, there was. Like, the makeup of that movie is so good.
That makeup is really good.
And there's so much potential there, but all they did was just have this parade of like nods to the original, which you wouldn't have.
No, that meant nothing.
None
to
of it made sense, including having Charlton Heston.
I feel like I knew that he was in it,
and it was just like doing like damn dirty humans. Or I was like the whole time I was like, I just kept shrieking in my seat because I was so uncomfortable. Like, I'm like, no. Oh,
so
why?
That had like it was like Tim Roth and. Uh-huh. Michael Mark, Clark Duncan,
Mark Wahlberg
before he became like
I don't,
Mark Wahlberg.
I don't remember any. That just shows you how memorable it was. I definitely saw it.
In every way, like a 90, I think it, maybe late 90s.
Late 90s, early 2000s, yeah.
Right.
But it's a 90s cash grab.
It was, and I, that
and
was it for me. Like,
wrong
that was
director.
That was the it's just, left turn to Nowheresville for Tim Burton for me. I was like, I'm done with him. Like, I don't want nothing to do with it. I think his movies are garbage, except for the stuff prior. Yeah. I don't really count Pee-wee, though. Like, Pee-wee's not really a Tim Burton movie.
What?
Certain scenes, it's a Tim Burton movie.
Oh, it's very Tim Burton.
Yes, it is.
I don't know.
I think Beetlejuice is a
Tim Burton. Tim Burton's that. I think Beetlejuice. Pee-wee was, like, super bright.
No.
Was it not bright?
It's so dark. When you go back and watch it, it's totally Tim Burton.
What was the other one, then?
He does Pee-wee's
the other
big
one.
Good Pee-wee's
he does Big Pee-wee's, Top Pee-wee.
Big There's, Top Pee-wee.
Maybe I'm yeah. Big Top Pee-wee.
Yeah. Because
he does Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Big Adventure.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where he first hooked up with Danny Elfman.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're three movies into this new franchise, and they're prequels. They have to be,
but
like,
they're soft reboot prequels.
Well, it's got to be a reboot.
It has to because it
doesn't end with nuclear war.
Correct. Yeah. It does.
And also, the characters
not yet.
Okay, that's fair. It can still
spoiler,
but
right.
but the homage with Nova, it's not the same character, and so if they're winking at you,
wait,
with
who's
that,
Nova?
At the character
that was
name,
a bit winky.
Then it has to
who's
be.
That?
The girl.
I know who the girl is.
Because he hasn't seen the originals. In one, that Charlton Heston's character finds two humans that don't speak, kind of caged up and treated like animals.
And one of them is Nova?
And one of them is a woman named Nova.
Oh, okay.
Who
so,
he didn't speak. Pounds.
When them winking at it, there's no way that it's building up to there being another Nova. So, okay.
So in the first of these
maybe
new movies,
it's building up to Nova Jr.
See?
Yeah.
And then the disease is passed on.
So the first of these new movies did talk about and it was a very subtle nod, because when they said they were making this, I was like, ugh, because I love the original so much. And you know, a lot of the original French book, it was a lot different because the apes were way more refined. They lived in almost like a French steampunk community. They were very well dressed and well read.
And it doesn't have the the Statue of Liberty.
No, it doesn't.
Ending where he's like,
that would make sense.
Courtesy of.
That's courtesy of Rod Serling. That's something Rod Serling added to Planet of the Apes because he's like, we got to Twilight Zone this bitch up.
Right. Yeah. We got a twist for you.
So, do you know
I knew
about that.
Okay. Yeah, I know that. Like, that's pretty iconic. You can't really.
The apes were dead the whole time.
Unlike the Tim Burton one where they're just like, it's a Abraham Lincoln was a monkey?
It's I don't understand. Terrible.
But I like how they kind of tie them in, and we'll get into it more. But I like how now, you know, having seen the first one and what this movie's all about, it's like, that makes sense. That's why humanity.
But they're going for the long, like,
it's a long
they're
haul.
Like doing a long build up to that. I don't think that they had planned on ever getting to the point of remaking the original. They had said that when they put the first one out. They do have the astronauts, and the ship is lost. You know, they lose contact with the ship. And that's about as much, other than like
James Franco,
Draco having the it's a madhouse line.
Yeah,
they kept the winks and nods pretty subtle.
And he says, "You damn dirty ape."
Yeah, that was the other one. I was like, ugh.
I know that one.
but the spaceship
was Draco Malfoy in the first one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
But the spaceship is referenced in the first of the reboots.
I forgot about that.
It was like on the
so
the
that's
news.
Referencing Heston being out there on the
and that was it.
Didn't
it was
catch
like,
that. Okay.
Okay, cool.
So Matt Reeves did not direct the first one, right?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. So he's only done the last two. Mm. Okay. So yeah, so this one, they give you a quick rundown of where we are. And I did like the little credit sequence where they give you like the title of the movies,
Dawn,
Dawn and Rise, and then we go to in a war.
Very good recap, because I had actually just watched these movies the day that I saw the new one. I did marathoned it so I could rewatch.
It's a lot of apes.
It is.
Do you have like a time turner or something?
When you have 2 weeks, I got plenty of stuff done. But I watched.
I feel like you didn't get enough done if you're sitting there watching apes movies.
There was plenty.
On your honey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If you know what we did.
He'll be editing this part.
I don't know that I want to know what you did.
Look,
I think we know.
We get it.
We went to Disney World.
Here's the deal. So Disney World, we went to all four parks. We had all our fast passes lined up. I got the premier pass at Universal, so I had free express pass on every ride. I could get onto everything that I wanted.
I had a joke lined up for a fast pass, but I let it go.
See, I was working on a Small World joke. So,
but seriously though, that Universal Express pass, I mean, after 4 o'clock you can do every ride once and just go right onto it. And I mean, once
it's only after four?
Yeah, well, included with the premier pass. I don't have to pay for it. It's $85 a day, or with my pass it's free after four.
Oh, okay.
And that's 4 to 10 is all you need for each park. You could do every single ride.
I did Universal Hollywood, but we did the VIP tour.
And that includes
and
it
so
too,
it was nice because they walk you around.
Oh, nice.
So, like, you make a good path through things, and then you go first. Yeah. And then when your tour is over, it's at least in Hollywood, the Hollywood Universal Studios, that's the only pass that lets you have unlimited rides. Like their express pass lets you do each ride once. And so, like, we did Harry Potter like 3 or 4 times.
Nice.
And we just get off and get right back on.
But it's great though. So I mean, I basically, instead of doing the tour, I spent the $200 the tour would cost to upgrade to a premier pass, which got me express pass every day. They're like, you had it one day. We were there for 2 weeks, so I wanted it every day.
Yeah, we were only planning to be there for one day. So
I got on every ride almost instantly after 4 o'clock, 4 to 10, and then I got Volcano Bay, because Volcano Bay is blackout unless you have Premier Pass. So for the $200 we spent a person, we had 2 weeks of Express Pass and Volcano Bay. But anyway, but the point is, when you have Fast Passes and Express Pass, that's the way to do it.
And his new wife was there, too.
Yeah, right. That's exactly correct.
luckily, I found a wife that loves theme parks and going to, she loves Disney, so it was great.
Yeah. And she loves Disney so much, he took her to Universal.
Right. Yeah. Hey, I know you love Disney, but
we are season pass holders to both, and we live in St. Louis. So
that doesn't make any sense.
Well, it does.
If you go down there,
for
more than once,
twice
a year,
it pays for itself.
And if you're there for that length of time, too, because I've mapped it out at one point. I think the cutoff point is about 8 or 9 days for it to be worth the money if you're out of state. And so basically they set it up to where if you're going there for a week, it's not worth doing.
Right.
Like, you still have to pay full freight. So,
but if not, anyway, it's fun. Back to this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I watched both movies and I liked that little recap because I had just seen them, but they give you like one paragraph for
the first
two films. But I'm like, they really summed it up. It was good.
Right. So just to break it down for if anybody. So the first movie is we get the birth of Caesar. Mm-hmm. We get the birth of the simian flu that's pretty much started to wipe out the human race. The second movie is the human race still trying to survive. The apes have started to evolve. And they're, are they in Seattle? Do they ever tell you where they are?
No, I think it was San Francisco, wasn't it?
San Francisco.
Because the first one ends in San Francisco.
They're always at that bridge.
They're the Golden Gate Bridge, right? Yeah, big battle. Right.
And but then this one
the,
they look at.
Where's the winter? Where's the snow coming from?
Yeah, the first one ends in like Mirror, I think it's Mirror Woods.
Is there snow up there?
Like the California Redwoods. And,
okay.
Because from there, they look out the window or whatever, and there's the bridge. Okay. So it's like,
all right. See, mountains are very high.
Yes, thank you.
You don't always look as high
because
they're off in the distance.
There's no snow in California.
They're off in the distance, but they're not really 3 inches
they're
tall.
The thing about California,
you can surf and ski on the same day.
That's true. Yeah, I've been into the Muir Woods actually.
There you go.
One time.
So that's I think where they were.
Okay, that makes sense though.
Dan, when you go skiing, do you use the Express Pass or what do you recommend?
I would actually prefer the Premier Pass, but the Express Pass will also get you at least halfway.
So, we're back to Caesar is there, and we've got all of the same, pretty much all the same characters, with the exception of Koba, who died in two. Right? Or did he die in one?
Yeah, two.
No, he died in two.
And that two is a good movie.
They're both good movies.
But that's when, I know, but that's when, I mean, the first one was good, and then Matt Reeves came on for the second one.
So I will say, after, like, when they announced Matt Reeves as the director of Batman, it's kind of like, okay, like, I liked The Last Planet of the Apes. I could see this. After this one, I'm just like, yeah.
This guy's
like,
got it.
Back him a truck of money. And so
he's definitely got, like, a good visual eye.
They have scrapped that script. Yeah. They're starting from square one.
And how mad must Ben Affleck be?
Oh my God!
Everything they told him was going to happen is
out
not
the window.
Happening.
At all. You're not going to get. Okay, so if you sign this thing, you can direct Justice League. You can write the next Batman movie. You can be Batman, and you can do this. Come 2019, you're not going to direct Justice League. We're going to scrap your script. And we may keep you as Batman. We'll
see. That would be a nightmare to recast.
No, they're going to keep him as Batman.
But Matt Reeves wrote this movie, so if you want to know, can Matt Reeves write Batman?
He's going to write, and he's. I mean, I just saw an article with him where he refuses to compromise on his vision of stuff, and he's like, if you don't like, so he went to Warner Brothers. When he went to them and said, "This is my idea. If you like it, great." If you don't like it, that's fine too. He's like, but I'm not going to make a movie that tanks and then it's on me, but it's not the movie if I make a movie and it's my vision and it tanks, that's fine. Like, that's on me. I accept that. But if I make a movie, it tanks and it's not on me, I'm going to be pissed.
So what's smart about that is that you do that before you go into
That's what he said.
Before you start.
Yeah. Right.
I was going to say,
you can say yeah
not in the
right.
middle of it.
He's saying the same thing Josh Trank says, but Josh Trank was hired and agreed to do what they said. And then,
or even the guys from Han Solo. Like,
right. It's the same. You know? Yeah.
So his idea of Batman that he said is he wants to do a noir detective story. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Well, like, that's the thing I like so much about these movies is that each one's like a chapter.
Yeah.
You know, and that, I mean, they're longer than chapters, obviously. But each one moves the story forward. They're not just kind of redoing the same one. I mean, especially if you look at where we're at in three versus where we started in one.
Yeah.
Those are radically different stories.
Huge.
But
big
the
time.
Thing is, they need to be radically
right.
different stories.
Right. And I'll tell you, the neat thing about going back to watching them all in a row like I did, it really is neat to watch them that way because you see Caesar born. You see him interact with humans.
Right.
You see him being betrayed by humans in some sort of way. You know what I mean? Like the bad humans.
And
you just see how he grows as a character. And so watching them 1, 2, 3, you're like, wow. And then Caesar getting a family in the second one and losing family and
he's
friends.
Kind of like Martin Luther King, like especially in this movie. Like they have developed him into like a social justice leader of the, like, because he's betrayed by the humans constantly. Mm-hmm. And he's never given up on them. Like there's a scene where you think he's like, that's it, but he does, like, there's
and that second one you really think he's gonna, you know,
but he never once gives up on the idea that we can work this out, like we can make this peaceful. They get way into the slavery thing in this movie, like they kind of a little heavy-handed a little bit, but I see, like,
you know,
it benefits the story, I guess.
It's always been a dicey proposition for Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Their heart is in the right place, I think.
Yeah.
But it's also easy as a white guy to say that.
Sure.
But it's always been a civil rights metaphor.
Yeah.
But for it to work fully in that capacity, you've also are saying that the minority are going to be played by apes.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Perhaps a different animal would have made more sense. But at the same time, when you're trying to base it evolutionary, if you think mankind came from apes, like, then that's the choice that makes the most sense, to be like Planet of the Dolphins.
I feel like if Jordan Peele directs this movie, we would be praising how smart that was. But since it's a white guy, I think if
it's a black creative team, I think that they could probably make choices.
That's true.
That a white guy can't make. But I also think that they would probably make different choices that we're not even thinking of, that their background would inspire.
Benefit.
Yeah. And that they would, you know, like, I don't, a white guy couldn't have made Get Out.
No.
A white guy would have never thought of taking the story the direction that it did.
Right.
And even if he had, he probably would have been scared to death.
It would have been made and shelved.
Right.
Yeah.
So, again, I feel like the franchise has its heart in the right place.
I do.
But it really gets kind of dicey.
So this goes back all the way to 1972, and I was trying to remember which one it was. It was Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, which I think is the third sequel. And Caesar is the character in that. And
where does that character show up in the original stuff?
He is
a character.
He is the son of Cornelius and Zira.
So they flip that in this, right?
Yeah.
Because Caesar has
around.
A boy named Cornelius.
But there's a speech. You know, it's basically an ape uprising. If you haven't watched them, it's totally worth watching, especially in context of this. But there was an ape uprising in that. And it's 1972. I don't know where this aligns with, like, the Watts riots.
Right.
But so they have this really incendiary speech and in the test screenings where they tested the screenings of this, audiences were, like, getting riled. And,
like, angry at the movie, or was like, yeah, let's do it.
Angry at the movie.
Ah.
And
the Watts riots were 65.
Okay, so this is like post that, but I mean, there are things happening in Oakland.
Tom was
at
covering
the time.
It for a newspaper at that point.
Right, yes, yeah, exactly.
There's a lot going on in Oakland, and so sort of speaking along those same lines, I mean, it was, they actually had to re-edit the movie before they put it up because it was like, okay, this
was it inciting riots?
It was getting, well, it was very...
Like gearing people up for...
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, it was... It would come across, and the time is a very black power type of speech.
Absolutely.
I gotcha.
Yeah. It almost turned into a, riotous Black Panther movement. And so they had to, like, dial it down.
which I like. Like, I in terms of, like... you know, you watch over the course of this movie, basically Caesar being radicalized by the events. And like, regardless of where you stand on how people should react to that, it makes sense that he would react the way he did. Even if you disagree, like, even if you strip it down to it's no longer a metaphor and you really want to get as simplistic as, like, the apes in this movie are black people.
Right.
And the...
The military
and the humans are white people.
What I will say,
even though they're black people, that the humans are white. If you really want to boil it down to something that simplistic, and even if you still want to take the side of the quote unquote white people, there is nothing about what Caesar does that, from a storytelling standpoint, wouldn't make sense.
Right.
Also, like, there is nothing that Koba does in the previous one that doesn't make sense. You can disagree with it, but it
doesn't make him wrong.
But it doesn't make it a bad storytelling choice.
Right.
No.
And I will say, it's interesting to see these voices, right? So, who is Caesar? What's his name?
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis is Caesar.
So good.
Great. And Toby Kibble.
All of the CGI in this is at the...
Oh, my God.
This is another
movie
level.
I hadn't even noticed. I was like, I honestly cannot
tell. There's a scene where it's a close-up picture of the bad ape. And we say bad ape.
Oba.
No, the Steve Zahn.
I gotcha.
The character's name is Bad Ape.
Bad Ape. And it's like, it's a close up on his face, and I thought it was an animatronic.
I'm telling you,
it is that good.
Yeah.
The CGI is so good. A lot of people don't realize that they used real apes. The people are CGI.
Yeah. Yes.
It's that.
Woody Harrelson was all CGI.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson was never on set. Yeah.
Well, the progression, I'll tell you, the first one even, the CGI was really good.
It was.
Then you get to that second one, and it is incredible.
This
especially
is
the close-ups
level.
Of Koba and everything. Mm-hmm. A lot of that takes place when it's a little darker out, so that might help it. But the CGI is so good. And in this one, yeah, it is photorealistic.
When they get up on their faces and like the details, and not even just the details, but like the texturing
everything.
Of like water on the face and just everything.
At
was
no point did I ever feel like I was watching CGI.
Right. I agree completely. You know? Yeah,
and that's my main complaint with a lot of CG movies. I don't like heavy CG movies because it's usually done poorly or it's not.
Do we know who did this? CG wise,
I'm trying to remember.
I mean,
if we're on this level.
Things shouldn't look.
It might be Weta for this one.
Okay, but if we're on the level of this, like we talked about it with Cars, where those race sequences looked
photorealistic.
Yeah, if we're on this level, we shouldn't be seeing bad CG at this, unless you're a smaller budget company.
Right.
Like I get that.
It's just money. I mean, to get this level, it's the staff you need.
Yeah,
of all the different countries and everyone working together. It's like amazing.
I'm just interested, what the special effects budget is compared,
compared to the
Movie budget.
I mean, I heard it was almost $200,000.
Jeez,
it was a lot.
I feel like we could pull that. So this movie starts.
We're just getting the clip out, money funds, and
sure, yeah,
just reaching that.
We kind of, like Tom said, these are chapters, so we're picking up pretty quickly. I know we're about
5 years.
5 years, which is still like not a lot of time.
The first is 10. The second is 10.
So we're 15 years out.
15 from the
first
initial
one.
Incident. Yeah.
And the apes are. Our opening scene is a group of military guys are scouting the Mir Woods, and the apes that were sided with Koba have now joined the military, and are completely used. Like pieces of equipment.
They're grunts.
Donkeys.
Not even grunts.
But that's why they call them donkeys.
Right,
they carry
their
weapons.
That next level down where they're just they're grabbing the back of their.
I also took them calling them donkeys as a
Kong.
As a donkey.
Sure.
Kong
that's
joke.
What I thought.
Yeah. I think it's their double meaning because they have Kong, bad Kong, and so they write that a lot.
And it's interesting at one point when they're fighting them and they refer to them as Kong, like Vietnam.
Right. Yeah. It's double meaning as well. Yeah.
Definitely.
So I mean, they're grabbing the back of their backs and they're throwing them around. And there's a pretty good fight here in the Mir Woods where the military attacks a base, basically. They're fording up in the Mir Woods. The military attacks. The monkeys come back and attack. Sorry. Yes, apes. Mm-hmm. Come back and attack.
Because we know whose side Joe is on.
Right.
The Cobb sides with them.
I don't. I don't. That's the other thing about this movie is there's a character you think they're going to redeem. And they never do. Yeah. There's not a single character in that military that is.
I like
quote,
how they
unquote,
handled
a good guy.
I like how they handled that.
Yeah.
But I disagree in
what?
That.
Okay, moving on. No, I'm just kidding.
No, is in that I think if you were in that situation as a human, you would make every decision that they made because it really is becomes. An us or them proposition, and not from a political standpoint, but
it's our survival.
As we find out, there's something that's going to damage and destroy the human race as we know it,
even more so
than just we have a competing life form on the food chain,
right?
And so when you find that out, I'm like, okay, even though these guys seem like jerks and they're being. I don't know, meaner than they need to be or whatever, however you want to define it. If you were in that situation as a human being, like when I watch this movie, when I watch the human being scenes, I think I would make every one of those decisions if I was them. When I watch the ape scenes, I think I would make every one of those decisions if I was them.
But what's interesting about this is that at a certain point in the movie, we start to realize that I mean, Woody Harrel, if you feel compelled to side with the apes, which is like, so far, we're seeing that the apes have been making the more humanistic choices.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
But we do understand what's happening. But then we find out that basically Woody Harrelson's turned into Colonel Kurtz.
Yeah.
And
who's that
from Apocalypse Now?
Oh, there's a lot of Apocalypse Now.
Yeah. The scene, there's the scene when he's in the waterfall.
Well, there's a scene on the wall where it actually says Apocalypse.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I mean, at that point, we realize, even a lot of the stuff that we've seen in the trailer, it's not a war between the apes and
man.
And man. It's man and man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
they kind of, they sort of, I thought they were going to drop that line. Late in the movie, Woody Harrelson has a line. The line throughout all these movies was ape doesn't kill ape. And obviously Caesar killed Koba. He killed, he kills another ape.
Ra's al Ghul killed Koba.
I don't have to save you. But he also, he kills an ape in this one as well. And the line is ape doesn't kill ape. So as we get further, there's a moment in that movie where whatever, we're just going to go where Caesar has Woody Harrelson dead to rights. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was going to say ape or man doesn't kill, you know, something to go back to that line to reference the fact that it's not man versus ape. Like it's man it's man versus man at that point. Like Caesar is so advanced and he's so smart that he is on the level of Woody Harrelson, who is like this military genius. He's on his level. Yeah. He knows that they're building this wall, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah.
A little on the nose. Mm-hmm. And Caesar knows that, like, you're not, they're not coming here for to be with you, are they? And he's just like, man, you're impressive. Like, that's the line. It's just like, so, you know, it's not. Caesar is so far gone, not gone, but like so smart.
Right. Well, if you've seen the first one, this really makes sense as to how you.
The first one.
It makes sense because in that movie, the apes are. It is the planet of the apes. And the apes are intelligent. They have consoles. They have you know, military. It's they're very sophisticated. And so you see where these apes are going, and Caesar's becoming so advanced. And boom, flash forward whatever many years in the future, 200 years, whatever.
Right.
It makes sense that and this is where they are.
And I like how they advanced them slowly. Like it wasn't just, you know, Caesar's born as this talking ape and he's really smart. It's like he's really smart for an ape, and then we do things to him.
We start
and
giving make him sign smarter, language,
and then we give him language, and then you know, even in the last movie, like the bulk of that movie is in sign language.
Yeah.
You know, especially when the apes are talking, which is a really ballsy choice,
big time
for a tentpole summertime action movie.
Yeah.
To basically be like, oh, a fourth of our movie is going to be subtitles.
Yeah, that movie. But and,
basically it is right.
But the last one, it's like that's 10 years later, and Caesar barely speaks, but he speaks.
Right.
And in this one, he's
fully
fluent.
Articulate. Yeah.
Even the ones around him are slow. Are like Caesar from 10 years
ago. You're starting to see the ones further down the evolutionary chain, chronologically, are starting to catch up.
Which is why when they made the first one, they still felt that the original movie was still part of this canon.
Right.
Because they really, what we've seen are just small evolutionary baby steps towards what that movie
was.
Yeah,
sure.
Because that movie is
200 years.
And that's what makes sense. Like, it, you know, to like all of a sudden have all the apes talking would be
no
ridiculous.
Sense. Right.
And I love, and it engender so much respect for the filmmakers in that would be the easy choice to make.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be on paper the safe choice to make.
Sure.
But instead, Warner Brothers, take notice, they had patience and they weren't concerned about we got to get to the next
movie. Isn't that interesting that they had patience with these?
Well, that's because they also saw the Tim Burton remake.
Yeah.
That's true. But I mean, like, they had patience with these three. Who directed that first one? Do we know? Was it anybody?
Oh,
anybody?
Yes, I can't Doug remember Lyman? His name. No, Ed. Is it Edward
Scissorhands?
Yes.
Furlong,
Zwick.
No, hold
Hardy.
On. Planet.
Tony Edwards.
Tony Scott.
Oh my gosh.
Tony Randall.
Okay. Wait a minute. Okay, hold on.
Planet. Dante and Randall.
Kevin Smith.
Randall Boggs.
Oh my god.
Wade Boggs.
Wow. That was pretty good.
I just know that there's a guy named Wade.
He's a baseball player, but very good.
So where are you going to go from there?
Wade Wilson. Smith. The Legend of the Boggy Swamp.
Wade Wilson.
Something.
Oh.
Ryan Reynolds.
Signal is not very good in here. I'll just go. I'll look it up.
So, yeah. So, like, Caesar has been in hiding, basically, and they know that they're looking for Caesar.
Now, at what point do you think they will work in him inventing the salad?
That's a good question.
I mean, it's
a legit question.
Matt Reeves has got to want to get to that so quick.
I mean, he's a very smart filmmaker.
But he
It's a very important thing.
He slowed his roll.
I'm not going to lie.
Well, that's why they're so worried, because they've got those other humans coming from the Hidden Valley.
Right.
Yeah. And they're like, uh-oh. Because if they show up, they've got that dressing.
They've got the ranch.
Done.
And that was
Rupert Wyatt.
What else has he done?
Is he this one of the Snow White
ones? Oh. Okay. Is he the guy that hooked up with, what's her name?
Oh. No,
With Kristen Stewart.
No, I guess he only has the Subterranean, The Escapist, Rise for the Planet of the Apes, and then he did The Gambler with Mark Wahlberg. So,
okay.
Guess not.
A whole lot of nothing.
Gambler was almost a good movie.
It's a remake, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, Caesar has been in hiding this entire time, sort of. Like, he's not on the front lines.
It's
four.
Almost like an urban legend.
Kind of at this point, yeah. So we've got these four soldiers along with an ape that was one of that followed Koba, and then out of the shadows comes Caesar, and Caesar has a great scene with the orangutan and this new albino gorilla that
Winter? Yeah, he's
and,
a gorilla.
Which looked awesome. Like that Maurice
is the orangutan, which is named after actor Maurice Evans, who played Dr. Zaius.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. And then he kind of says, he's like there, and Rocket's not back yet. Rocket comes back.
Yeah, he's out with Blue Eyes.
Who I thought Blue Eyes was dead.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
I thought Blue Eyes died in two.
No, friend did. Rocket's son
did. Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
Which was heartbreaking. Kid was his best friend, and
right.
Koba threw him off the...
That's correct. Ugh. That was bad. Bad ape.
He's the original bad ape.
He's the original bad ape. But Tony Kibble, the guy that was Dr. Doom, is the voice of Koba.
And also, he was in, wasn't he in, King Kong.
He's the soldier that gets lost.
The whole thing, they're looking for him, and halfway through the movie, he dies. Like, such a weird storyline that you think you're like, in the end, he's going to make it out.
That's the misstep of that movie is that they invest all that time in heaven.
Him, yeah.
His character sort of survive.
And then they squish him.
And then some tree monster just
unceremoniously kill him.
It was a weird move.
Well, then why did we spend 15 minutes?
Because they wanted you to care about him, and then
they're just burning some time.
So, speaking of burning time, Caesar kind of says, he's like, I'm not going to kill him. Like, you're going to go back with a message of peace, where it's just like, you guys we'll take the woods.
Yeah.
You take whatever's left, and that's it.
This is to like five or six soldiers that were attacking them. They captured.
Correct. And Caesar says that, you know, I'm done. Like, I don't want to fight anymore. I'm tired of fighting. You go back, tell whoever you got to tell.
Now he's like Chief Nez Perez or whatever. Yeah. I will fight no more forever.
Yes, that's basically what they are. Yeah. So he sends them on their way. At this point, Rocket and Blue Eyes come back. And I did think that Blue Eyes was dead. I don't know why I thought.
I don't know.
No. So they have a really good reunion. And when he
not
comes.
Yet.
What?
Not yet.
When Blue Eyes comes back and he sees Caesar?
He's not dead.
Oh, right. So I did think when he comes back and he was like, here's your brother and here's this. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, man. Yeah.
Such a happy family.
Reunion. It was like, yeah. And I will say, this is a dark, dour movie. And they needed the bad ape character because if they had not introduced that character, this would not have been a fun movie to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been a great movie, but it would not have been fun. The addition of Steve Zahn as the quote unquote, the zoo, the ape that lived in the zoo needed to be there. To give you a little lighten it. Yeah.
He was a little much for me, but I get why they did it in this movie.
I thought
there was times where it was just a little too.
I also thought his addition helped sort of the evolution of what is to come down
the
road.
Like, even apes in the zoo were evolving from watching.
They
Rylans,
need to like take it outside of the contained or sort of the genetic workings of
like those scientific apes.
Well, because, you know, they've keep propagating.
Sure, sure.
And that medicine's gone.
It's good that we have like other ones that have evolved outside of their genetic chain.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying.
You have that medicine and a couple canisters thrown.
Right.
And then it's like, well, where are they? There's no more medicine. So how are we going to? Yeah.
It's interesting. So if we get, I wonder if we ever get to If we they're totally building this up to what happens in that original movie. How did those humans survive? Like, how does Charlton Heston survive if that virus is still...
Because he's in space.
Because he's in space.
But if he comes back, he comes back,
he comes back 200 years later.
And we're saying the virus is gone at that point?
I don't remember the originals ever saying that there was a virus.
They didn't know.
I always interpret it as humans had devolved.
Yes,
like they were.
I see.
They were so suppressed,
which is what's happening.
Yeah, they were so suppressed or oppressed by the apes that they became enslaved by them, and they weren't educated, and they got dumber and lost language skills and all that. Where in this one, it's saying that it's a virus that's causing this,
and it's a virus and a mutated virus,
this de-evolution of humans.
And the way, like I was saying before, that they really work this in to be an interesting prequel is that if we see why the people aren't talking because of this virus, but it would make sense that, and I think Charlton Heston says that it's been 20 centuries, so it may be 2,000 years in the future, but if the humans aren't talking, then their kids aren't learning to talk, eventually, so it started as a virus, which is such a clever way to show, like, how did this even begin, and then 2,000 years later, it's like people have not heard speech, they don't, there's
that
no
makes sense.
They're just a bunch of... cave people sexy cave people if you
Charlton Heston in 1968
a loincloth and Nova
so he goes back, and then we see the it's a big reunion, like everybody's happy that everybody's back, and
they're trying to convince them to leave,
right? So Blue Eyes comes back and it's just like, look, we found a place that's so far away, the humans won't mess with us. Like, it's a beach. And I was just like, okay, like, well done. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Got to get to the desert.
Right. Get to the desert. They'll leave us alone. We won't have to fight anymore. We need to leave right now. But Caesar is just like, we can't leave right now. Like, we're not ready to go yet.
5 years ago, remember when they tried to move and get away from
the
humans?
Mess.
So that's why he's trying to take his time. We need to make sure that we're going to be okay.
So
let's rest on it.
Let's rest on it. And then so Caesar wakes up because he sees like these little green lights come out, you know, because Caesar's home is
it's a waterfall.
It's his front door, basically. And he sees the people drop down, and he talks to Rocket, and he's just like, we're under attack. We should also say that Winter has been, quote unquote, attacked. And the donkey that was with that they had captured has now escaped as well. So there's an attack on the home. They end up beating everybody except for one person. And Caesar realizes why they're there. He realizes that Winter has ratted them out. And so he's running back to his room.
You hear gunshots.
He hears two gunshots. And by the time he gets there, he sees Woody Harrelson, like, kind of turn around. Woody Harrelson gets on the mic and is just like, King Kong's gone. We got him. Let's go.
And instantly, you know that they think that they just killed Caesar. So who do they think is Caesar?
Right. So we find out that Woody Harrelson has killed Blue Eyes and his wife.
Yeah.
I don't remember his wife's name. And you think possibly Cornelius. Like, you don't really know because they can't find Cornelius anywhere. And so this is the point where Caesar almost breaks. Where he's just like, you take them and get them out of here. You get them to where you need the apes. Get them to where they need to go. I'm going back, and I'm going to end this right now. So he ends up being joined by Maurice, Rocket, and the gorilla, whoever the
another gorilla. I don't know if they call it.
Oh, Luca, I think is what
that,
they,
okay.
Yeah,
because he lived on the second floor.
Right, that's why. Yeah, that's exactly why. So they start to stage an attack on they find out that there's a border. They kept saying,
"Oh, and they send everybody else to the desert."
To the desert. Like, you guys go. He tells Lake, who was the wife of Blue Eyes, to take care of Cornelius. You will be, you know, you loved his brother, you will be his mother. Off you go. And this is kind of heart-wrenching, where like even like the little monkey, the little ape knows he may not see his dad again, and like the Caesar is willing to sacrifice himself for the betterment of his family and tribe, I guess is what you call
it. Really interesting how, and especially as we've grown through these prequels, how they've gotten us to be attached to these characters.
Sure.
And it is heart-wrenching. And when you see that little monkey who's only 4 or 5 years old, I'm sorry, I did it that time. When you see this little ape who's 4 or 5 years old and you feel for him, that's his dad. And it gets you to feel that
way. It's his only family now. Like his mom's
gone. Well, especially after that.
You know, his mom's gone, his brother's gone. He doesn't have any family.
They do a great job, especially since these are CG characters. Now, there is a lot of acting behind them, so I don't want to say they're just CG, but the look of it is CG. And so just that really shows you the performances, Andy Serkis and these other actors, and how good the CG is. We care about these characters. So, and the other weird thing is, too, and I don't know if you guys felt this, but from the very first one, you find yourself rooting for the apes, which is just weird because we're humans. And
and plus Woody Harrelson makes it easy.
He in this one especially, you know. But like, even in the second one, it's like we're humans, but these characters, the storytellers and the filmmakers have done such a good job of getting you to care for them that they are clearly the good guys in this film.
Oh, sure.
And it's just like, wow, we're humans and we're rooting for them to
because they're not hunting humans.
Sure.
Right.
But the humans are hunting apes.
Yeah. Which Caesar, the whole reason that we feel this way is Caesar, because he's the one that wants to be peaceful. He doesn't want war. He doesn't
want
to
hurt. The apes are willing to peacefully coexist.
Right.
The humans are not.
Right.
And in the previous movies, that was a more evil choice. Now it's not.
Right.
You know?
So
it's interesting that the humans' motivations have become more sympathetic while the humans have not.
Correct.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they are, these humans are not sympathetic.
No.
So there's, Luca kind of says like, there's a base up here. There's a fire. There's always a fire. We think this is where they are. So our little Magnificent Seven group kind of ride up, I guess it's Magnificent Four, the Fantastic Four. Which is
no,
a better movie.
Tony Kibble's dead.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Except for Ghost, and this being a ghost in this movie.
So they ride up, they run into a guy, and Caesar immediately was just kind of like, look, we're not here to cause any problems. And the guy, he's like, I'm just going to put this, like he's got a
firewood
in his arms. He's like, I'm just going to put this down. And he immediately goes for a gun, and Caesar shoots him in the face, like shoots him in the chest and kills him. And like, they all look at Caesar like, what are you doing? And he's just, yeah, man. Like, he was going to kill you.
I don't think in that situation anyone... I mean...
No, they all looked at him in shock that it happened.
Yeah, because he's...
Be killed
that it was
killed.
Caesar. That fired the gun.
Yeah.
So this is where we find the girl.
They subpoena his body cam footage. It's like, it was a whole thing. It was a really odd subplot.
Yeah, he went for the gun. And, all right.
But we find the little girl, and this is our first sign. You know, this is the first one we've seen where she can't talk.
She can't talk.
And so if you've seen the first one, none of the humans can
talk. And she's
got
like a scar on her, like... on her nose, which when we see what the virus is, we know that's something.
It's just, this is the first little hint, and we'll get more into it, but it's like, oh wow, she can't talk. Interesting.
When Caesar immediately is just like, yeah, let's go. Like, salvage what you can, get out, and we'll get out of here.
I like how Caesar says, we can't take her, and then Cornelius says, I know take her. But he's like, we can't take her. And then Maurice says, I know we can't take her, but I can't leave her.
Right.
I like that interaction a lot. Like, I know we can't take her, but I can't leave her. So
they take her. They get to like a resort, I guess is what it was. Like a resort in the woods. And this is where we meet Bad Ape, who is it's obvious he is. I don't know if he's older, but there's always an idea that animals that are kept in captivity don't physically flourish the same way an animal outside of captivity would.
He does look older too. I think he had probably been at the zoo for a long time.
And he is voiced by Steve Zahn, and he is your comic relief throughout the rest of the movie. And it's not overdone. They throw it in there on occasion when they have to, and when he's talking, and there's a scene where he's looking through binoculars and he's got them turned around backwards, and he's just like, oh,
well, he's also
so small.
He's also like a self-taught.
I liked it. Like, yeah, yeah.
You know?
I thought it was in that moment where it was just like, we need a little bit of levity. That was a Steve Zahn joke, and he turns it around, and he's just like, oh.
I just wish they would have downplayed it a little more.
I think if anything, it should have been a wordless joke of like him looking through it, kind of gasping.
And then they turn it around.
And then the other ape grabs it and flips it around. And he's like oh. you're an idiot.
It was a little too, it just drug on. A lot of his comedic things where it's like, okay, we get it.
But I did like that he dressed himself in a nice winter
He had a nice vest and a hat, yeah, which I thought was funny. Hat. Yeah, so he tells them that there's a border town, like there's a border, and that he keeps calling it the human zoo.
Yeah,
and we get there and we realize that Woody Harrelson's crew has intercepted the herd of apes and now is using them all for labor, basically.
Well, but they're also doing it willingly because the apes are.
Yeah.
Because the apes were with Koba, and they feel like they can't go back to the apes, so they have to side with the humans,
oh,
at least in the short term.
Well, no, I mean the herd. They've got the herd of apes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
But yes, you're also correct. Yeah. Is that we don't know that yet. They've turned on the herd.
Yeah.
To side with Koba, and they can't go back.
Right.
Because they sided with the bad guy.
Yeah.
They lost.
They are in exile.
They are.
But I think it was either in the last movie or the beginning of this one that they showed that. It might even been the first or second one. They show something about that people with the virus had been contained to these facilities. And so I think that's also the human zoo is alluding to, because they showed us that before, that people were all being grouped into these containment centers.
Right. So we also get, as they're following these people, they hear three shots ring out, and they show up and they find three bodies, soldier bodies. And one of them just happens to still be alive, and he can't talk. So this is where they're like, and they've all got the same like blood coming out of their nose, like down the sides of their mouth.
So now we're
getting
it's not
more of an idea that there's something going on. And so Caesar, I think, does Caesar go in first? Oh, he tells them all. He sees that he has screwed up, basically. Like if he had stuck with the tribe.
Well, Luca dies.
That's right.
Because they get into a skirmish with the soldiers that I guess had killed those people.
He falls on like a bayonet and he ends up dying.
He saves Caesar's life, but dies for him. And at that point, this is where Caesar goes, I can't let you guys keep going. I now I've lost another person.
Right.
Just go and I'm going to.
And then he goes into the facility and ends up getting caught, basically. This is a really long scene of the apes that have been caught already start to turn on Caesar for not being with them, for allowing them to be captured by this group.
It's hard to watch.
It's difficult because they all, and with the exception of Lake, and his son Cornelius is in the other pen, like screaming for. And that was, I was like, it's a little hard to watch.
Yeah.
But so they're moving these rocks, they're building this wall, and one of the orangutans loses his grip on a rope and drops it, and like a big piece breaks, and it's a big deal. And they start to one of the donkey that we have seen before starts to whip him, and Cornelius he stands up, and he was like, "That's it, like stop." And so he takes the lashes for this orangutan that can't go anymore.
And but none of them have been fed since they captured Caesar's group.
Water.
They haven't been fed or given water, so they're malnourished. And
which I thought was dumb. I mean, like, you got to know that if you want them to do physical labor, they need sustenance.
Yeah. I'm glad Caesar says, because I thought the same thing. I'm like, well, they're just stupid if no one brings up the point that you're not going to have workers for long if you don't.
Right, like that's just,
three days without water.
And the fact that, like, I mean. Apes and chimpanzees and gorillas are incredibly strong.
Yeah.
So not only are they a workforce, but I mean the fact that they could just tear their faces off anytime. but I mean it's like I sat there, I was like, well, that why would they take this very, very strong, reliable labor
and
use it
to the
fullest. I guess maybe they also think
they're expendable.
If they're so strong that weakens them from fighting,
and they've also got a pen full of babies,
but it's gonna take a while.
That's true.
They should be feeding them. Then
that's true. Yeah,
but yeah, it was one of those things. I was like, well, that just makes sense. But honestly,
I think it makes sense with Woody Harrelson's crazy character.
Yes,
he's like the colonel or something.
Yeah, his thinking is
he's a little nuts.
But I would have liked some insight as to why, even if it would have been very easy to be like, we barely have enough food for us. We're not feeding the monkeys.
Right. That's also true. Apes.
Well, they would have called
them
monkeys.
They would have called the monkeys. That's true. Yeah.
Well, I was also in character when I said the other one.
Sure. Apology accepted.
Yeah,
thank you.
Fine.
Don't ride my coattails.
You have coat on?
So Caesar is captured. He's brought, he says, he never screams or never makes any noise when they're whipping him. And so
I felt this was kind of
Woody Harrelson
like,
is getting, it's
because
like
I whipped him good.
It's Roots.
Yeah, it's like Roots or Passion of the Christ, yeah. You know, where they keep going.
I feel like Roots is a little bit more...
Well, you know, yeah, but I just mean, like, he's just like, I'm not going to do anything.
And, well, I'm not going to make any noise. And finally, he's like, either you tell them to get back to work, or I'm going to shoot one randomly every 30 seconds or whatever. And he doesn't say anything, and they shoot the ape that messed up the thing in the first place. And then all of a sudden, Lake, I think, picks up a rock, and she's like, starts no, it's working, good. Like, yeah. We got it. It's all because Caesar wasn't going to budge.
Right. And so they choose as a collective to
stand
just
up.
Go back to
and this
work.
Is and now Caesar is kind of back in charge. While they're in the pens, they all kind of do the.
Well, they kept Caesar tied up this for a while. More.
They did.
They leave him out.
They
to
did
just,
like a crucifix kind of.
That's
thing.
That's why it just seemed kind of Passion of the Christy too. The way they
I will
basically
say it's the cover of an Uncanny X-Men comic by Mark Silvestri.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's no.
I was
deal.
Thinking that as well. Like I was like, that's an X-Men cover.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. It's Wolverine on a big X. Like it's. Our other apes have.
It's hard to crucify somebody to an A.
It doesn't work.
Yeah,
like it's too many lines.
Yeah.
Unless
you also crucify somebody to a Y and an M and a C.
That's true. Then it makes sense.
Makes total sense.
Makes
then.
Total sense. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's a lot of work.
It is, but it's worth it.
Yeah, right.
It's worth it. Totally.
Just
pays
to make
off.
The joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woody Harrelson's like, look what I did.
That just
it's hilarious.
It just makes me think of Lego Batman. Where he's like, no, I said do it physically, and Robin spells out A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
So our other apes have stayed behind, and they realize they got to get them out. There has to be a way for them to get them out. Steve Zahn's character kind of accidentally falls in a hole that. This whole thing is built into a mountain, so there's like rail.
It was like a weapons cache,
yeah, like a weapons depot. They were gearing up for a different war.
I think also the humans that had been captured there had found a way to tunnel out.
Yeah,
because
yes.
It said this way out, so it was actually an underground railroad of sorts, already underneath that was established for
so
them.
So Rocket allows himself to be captured, and he
raccoon.
Yeah, raccoon. Yeah.
Every time you say Rocket, it's just very hard to not.
So they figure Rocket and Caesar start pacing things. Like Rocket knows that there are ways out underneath, so they start counting the paces. Like it's 55 paces to the kid's pen. It's 37.
That was smart.
Yeah.
I liked how they started working
now
together.
Now it's the Great Escape.
Yeah, that's exactly what.
Ape Escape.
The Great Ape Escape.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah,
I liked the scene. I'm like, this is getting really clever. This is really cool.
Yeah,
it's funny how many different movies. I mean, it has Apocalypse Now. It has The Great Escape. Mm-hmm. And there's a good chunk of this movie that is definitely just a flat out Western.
Oh yeah. Sure.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so they're tunneling through, and they realize, and Bad Ape, like, what?
It was very Logan-esque with him and the little girl.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, which was very Western-like.
Yeah, yeah. Logan is a Western.
When they took the little girl with him, I'm like, you know, because then you've got this guy on a mission who really doesn't want to haul around a little girl, but
on horseback.
He becomes having to.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this. We just saw this in both good movies, but anyway, I'm like, wow,
right.
This is a little.
But yeah, but it's also True Grit.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah,
you know,
very much.
And I don't think this movie could have really been influenced by Logan just from a production schedule standpoint.
Just
it's similar,
time,
but I don't. Yeah,
timeline wise, what
that
was that earlier
all the
this
time though?
Earlier this
like,
year,
mm-hmm.
Was it Logan March?
Logan,
or,
March?
Or,
yeah.
So
Bad Ape like he breaks through the surface like right by the foot of a soldier.
I'm like, this is such a Bad Ape thing to do.
Yeah.
You know,
and I did like he's looking up, and then there's one ape. That like sees him and he's just like the look on his face. He's like, "Don't,
yeah, like
don't
cut it out.
Yeah, don't say anything. Yeah. Don't do anything." So they realize that now they're getting
everyone's in on the plan,
right?
The only
problem is now that Maurice has started to clear out this one piece, it has opened the floodgates, literally.
Yeah.
So like the baby monkeys, the baby apes cannot. Go the way they will. So they like,
can't tell
we
them
can't,
out.
We can't tell them out, so they have to go up and over. And now it's the Great Escape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this whole scene where they trick one of the humans into like throwing poop at one of the humans.
Yeah.
That was great.
And like he comes in the cell and they jump him basically.
Steaming and everything.
Yeah.
With the,
he gets hit like three or four times with piles of poop.
What a stupid human though.
I did like the one that's just like, so when he comes into the, the pen. Like, he's like, all right, who did it? And nobody will claim it. And then he gets hit again.
And
he
turns around
and he's just like flinging it up in the air.
You see Rocket like with the,
he's just like, it's a whole big old thing of steam and poop. And
like
just
like McQueen with his baseball.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
Because I just rewatched that like earlier this week.
But they take him through the hole and capture him, get his gun.
They take his gun and they take his key card and they slyly get the baby
key card. I don't know if they had key cards. Probably
They had to get. Oh right, yeah. You know? I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know if they. So the baby apes are swinging
climbing a line across,
and they dropped and they get out and everybody gets out and Caesar has a moment where everybody's out and everybody's okay and he has a moment where he's like. Because Maurice kind of calls him Koba. They're like, you are acting just like him.
Well, because it's like, let's all escape with our people back to the desert. And he cannot let it
go.
And he's struggling with that. And he's like, I am no different than Koba.
Right.
Which we're all just like, yes, you are. But, you know, he doesn't see it. And
I get it. Yeah. Like, again, like the character, like, I get the anger. I get exactly what you're feeling.
I think the difference is that Koba had a hatred of humans.
Right.
Caesar has a hatred of
a human,
a human. Yes.
So he goes and he realizes that now they know the military's on the way. The military is coming. Like they're here, and which I thought was they looked like stormtroopers.
Yeah, was like, they were in all white.
They were all white with like black. Like
but
goggles.
I think weren't they coming from the north?
They were.
Yeah, they were.
So like they probably had
it was like camouflage. Basically.
Yeah, camouflage from Montana.
Right.
And Lord knows if you're going to hide in Montana, you need to be white.
Right. You can't be any other color besides white.
Just white.
Translucent would be best if they could do that. So the alarms are sounding, but Woody Harrelson's character hasn't shown back up. So
and I thought like he just deserted them.
That's
like,
what I thought too. Well, that makes him like I was like you are like
after all this, you're going to escape because you know they're coming.
Right.
Yeah.
So we should say that the girl has had this doll the entire time. She gives the doll to Caesar when she kind of rebuilds his faith in humans. And Woody Harrelson,
I don't have much faith in the Inhumans.
Nobody does. That show looks awful. good Lord. So. Woody Harrelson goes into this cage where Caesar was staying and he picks up the doll and he's like, where did you get this? I was like, I don't know.
I did not see this coming.
This was really smart.
With the reveal,
I was like,
man, that was smart.
I can't believe that. I just was like, wow.
Yeah. So Caesar gets into the facility. He gets into the quarters of the colonel and there's the colonel like, drunk, and we just assume he's drunk.
Which thought he has a bottle in his hand, reaching for
another bottle and he's picks his head up and he's got the blood coming down his face and we're just like
and they look over
there's the doll that he was holding
that
had a little speck of blood on it like originally and now it's got a little bit more.
It is, and I love this because it's essentially a small peck a smallpox infested blanket
basically. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So,
and we also should touch on that, you know, this guy was messed up. He's doing all this because of
his son
contracted the disease.
Then he had killed his
son. Put him down.
Right. Yeah.
And had to make that choice. So he's like, you think that I'm not struggling with crap when he talks to Caesar earlier in his office?
And see, that to me is kind of a part that humanized him.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That made him not quite so evil, even though he was doing bad things. But you get it. Like, when you're staring down the barrel of, this isn't just what if apes get better and stronger and smarter than us.
They're going
to
kill us.
This is, they're getting smarter while we're getting dumber.
Right.
We have to stop this now, which is, I don't know that we've really addressed, which is why the other army is coming in, because the other army of humans is more like
we can fix this.
They're like the official army. This group has gone rogue,
and they're going to
take matters into their own hands.
Right,
because,
splinter group.
Yeah, and the kind of the official military is coming in to put them down, and so. You know, you thought they were building this wall to prepare for a battle with apes, and it was to prepare for a battle with other humans.
Yeah. Right. So he's reaching for the gun.
But the cool thing is he gets what's coming to him. You know, after all this, he became the one
He doesn't get everything he wants because Caesar doesn't cross that line.
Well, true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so Caesar
it
has
was
the
like,
gun.
Satisfying to see that this guy had. You know.
And he took a coward's way. Yeah. Well, it's not always. Let me rephrase that. For this character, it is a coward's way out.
I don't think it is.
No. See, he would have gotten what he wanted. This is Caesar became not like Kobo when he made this move, which was really good for Caesar.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, he wanted Caesar to do it, but he didn't. So it helped Caesar. And then this guy.
I feel like he wanted Caesar to pull that trigger to make Caesar.
Yeah.
Embrace that side.
Right.
But Caesar wouldn't do it. So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't get everything he wanted.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
At this point, I don't think he was caring too much, though, either way.
So,
at least Woody Harrelson
wasn't. Understanding that, like, they lose the ability to speak, but their reasoning and deduction still is intact. I mean, the girl is basically...
I take it as, like, instead of being smart... They don't just become animals, but they do become kind of, like... smart animals.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
I think they do become a little more primitive.
Right.
But not totally.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not completely base.
Right.
But I mean, they're like when you see a smarter, well-trained chimp.
Sure.
How I took it. And
okay.
So
I didn't know, like, I was like, you'll just write. Like, why are you guys not writing anything?
Yeah,
because
and the girl probably
never learned how to write. That's true.
But I don't think they have, they
but
lose
she seemed,
that ability.
She seemed... all like for her age, she seemed like she had the appropriate skills besides not being able to talk.
I think at this stage they're very
that could be through mimicry.
I guess it could be that's
right.
true. Yeah, she does start to mimic Maurice. Mm-hmm.
This is very early in this virus.
Yeah.
You know, I think the speech is the main thing that goes, and maybe they're a little.
We'll get Matt Reeves on the line.
Yeah,
yeah, we'll just call him up and say, hey, what?
But I like this because to Woody Harrelson's character's credit.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a hypocrite.
No, he owned it. That's true. That's true.
The same when he was inflicted with it or infected with it, either or, he made the same choice for himself that he made for his son.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And so, you know, and also, you know, this is going to sound weird. In a way, it was kind of a Christian thing in that he needed to put down his son because his son was also at that point a way to spread that virus.
Oh, right.
And so it's not just about this kid.
It's for the greater
good. This kid's dumb now and I got to put him down. It wasn't just, I don't want a kid with special needs.
No, right. he did it for the right reasons.
It was I need to sacrifice my son so other people can live.
I gotcha.
You know, because it was.
What story was that?
The Bible?
No, but what was the one where Jesus said, you need to sacrifice, or the God said, you need to sacrifice your son for me. And he was just like, I can't do it.
He's Abraham.
Like, that's what it was. Okay, thank you.
Or I guess at that point he was Abraham.
And then after that he becomes
Abraham.
So yeah, so Caesar leaves and he realizes now that the last apes.
Supper?
Yeah. Are stuck. They're stuck in between this military force, the guards on the wall, these helicopters, they're stuck.
The guys on the wall, though, are just
like
now
50 caliber guns.
Opening up machine guns on his friends.
Yeah.
So at this point, you've got to stop that wall.
Right. You've got to stop the wall. You've got to stop all of it. So he grabs this thing of grenades, and he goes, and he's about ready to throw it. He's going to chuck it, and he drops. And you're just like, I will say, we're getting into this third movie. I did not think Caesar was going to make it. Like, I thought this was his story, and it was going to wrap.
Especially with just the amount of time that they have between each movie.
Yeah.
It's like, well, he's
going to get old.
He's old.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
They still age.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
So, the character that I thought was going to be redeemed is going to kill him.
Caesar saves his life in the beginning of the movie.
Right. He spares him.
And then he goes back to help capture Caesar and all his friends, and then at this point it's the very end and he shoots him with an arrow and you're like,
well, and then all of a sudden he's gonna shoot him basically,
kill him.
And he gets blown up literally by a bazooka.
Yeah,
I'm not making that up.
One of the donkeys takes the grenade launcher.
This donkey
the gorilla
that Caesar has kind of been like putting some earworms in his brain, where he's just kind of like, do you really
like
think...
Like achy, breaky heart?
Exactly like achy, breaky heart.
But he was the one torturing.
But he also
and
says,
just...
he's like, if you think for 1 second he's going to let you live, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
Like, you're letting them degrade you. You're letting them call you these. He's like, yeah, oh well.
Yeah.
So he
gets
turns
a redemption.
Like, he sees all of these apes being slaughtered, these innocent apes being slaughtered, and he turns.
Yeah,
and
it's finally a bridge too far.
Right, so he blows up the one guy, and then he immediately is shot in the head by the guy
by
who
the
was
gunner.
Manning. Yeah, the gunner. But Koba. But Caesar picks up the grenade, launches it at these gas tanks, and it sets off a chain reaction that blows up everything.
Yeah.
I did like the way the other military force took credit for that.
Yeah.
Where they were all just like, we did it. And it's just like, no, you didn't. Yeah. You did nothing.
But it's good that they keep screaming.
Yeah.
Really loud.
Yeah. Oh, right, man. Right.
Yes, scream. Exactly.
Celebrate all.
Celebrate all. Here's some guns up
in the
air.
This is the last military force on Earth.
Yes.
You know?
And I know that for sure.
They
said this was the last military.
Oh, really?
That's where all the military was.
Okay, they were focusing
at some point.
Because they got together and they all got matching outfits.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So
there's Caesar. Caesar realizes all of his buddies have gotten away. Everybody's safe. Caesar's standing there, and he's just watching. And he kind of smiles, and he's just like, all right, we're moving forward. And they all, like, one guy turns and looks at him. And then they all turn.
Slowly.
Like, slowly
one by
I
one,
turn.
By two, by
step
yeah.
by step. And then I don't know what happened.
But then an avalanche goes.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But they're getting ready to, like, is getting ready to shoot him.
Yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden,
here comes the avalanche. And I mean, even the snow looked good in these movies.
Oh, yeah.
Which
yeah.
isn't easy to do.
It's not. Snow and water.
Snow
and hair.
Difficult. So everybody survives. They make their way to.
The whole military.
The military survives.
The avalanche comes down.
Right.
And they all go, run away. Yeah.
So it's like, this is what needed to happen for the other movies.
Correct.
It's like, this is the last, presumably, and probably
we
the last military.
The last.
And there's a ton of them. And this and one foul swoop knocks
gone.
Them all out.
All gone.
No human military left on Earth.
There's nothing
so,
left. We don't know yet.
I liked that it was a large avalanche.
Yes. Yeah.
So as everybody's, you know. All the animals are fleeing. The apes are fleeing, and then like Caesar's climbing.
Here's the interesting thing I think about this avalanche. I don't know if this was intentional, but this movie's smart enough that I'm going to give them credit. Animals sense when avalanches are about to happen. These animals did not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
That's something they lost in their.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I think
it's one of those instincts they lost.
I think it might.
Primal instincts.
I can't help but feel, and I think this movie is smart enough to have done this on purpose.
I think you could be right.
That at part of their evolution, like, well, if you're gonna talk, something's got to go,
right?
And
it's the old young Frankenstein,
yeah.
You know, well, if you got the brain, what did he get from you?
Yeah, but yeah, it's like, and especially in light of the Woody Harrelson Flowers for Algernon moment.
Yeah, very. Oh wow, good call.
Thank you.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
So they make their way to the beach. Everybody's okay. It's weird. Like they never give you a moment with. Caesar and Cornelius, like they are constantly tearing them apart. Like they throughout the entire movie,
they get back together and have a nice one, and
that's it. Like, and then that you see them again, and he's like, "Dad, come down," you know, whatever. And he's like, "Yeah, you go ahead. I'm gonna sit up here."
Probably in their trek, they interacted a little.
Fine. But
as a viewer, we don't get that. We don't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they make it, and then they decide that they're gonna basically go to the. Promised land,
basically, exactly.
But then we see Caesar die.
Kinda, he's laying behind, and he's
talking to Maurice.
Maurice, and he's just like, "We're good. We made it." And he was like, "You made it." Like,
because he had got hit with an arrow,
right? And so he kind of like reaches in and he pulls his hands out, and of course, it's covered in blood. And he gives this pretty good speech where he's just like, "Your son, Maurice, to Caesar." He's like, "Cornelius will know who his father is."
But what's interesting is that. It's a very halted speech, but it's the most we've heard him speak
thus far. Sure. Right.
So, like, it's kind of a sign that...
Things are progressing.
That the apes are... Because other apes are starting to talk in dribs and drabs.
Right.
And this is the most we've heard Maurice talk. And it's very... It reminded me of the old Bob and Ray sketch. Mm-hmm. The Society of Slow Talkers. And it's a really funny sketch.
Yeah.
I'll try and post it on our Facebook page. It's a really funny sketch, but he's talking in such a halted fashion.
Sure.
I'm like, okay, get to it. I mean, I also
let's go.
I mean, it's the end of a 2-hour and 20-minute right. movie, so I think we all know I had to pee. So I think that it's, you know, it's showing us that the other ones are getting smarter and are going to pick up where Caesar left off. And then Caesar dies, and we see them kind of marching through the desert, which was their goal
the whole time.
They shouldn't have any other human interference.
Yeah, and I thought, like, if this is in canon and not a reboot, this is a good way to end it and let us pick up
Well, they're not going to end it.
No,
it's made too much money.
Not with this money,
but I think it's a soft reboot. Yeah,
but they've got
a long way. I mean, they still have. They know that they've built in enough time.
What conflict do you have?
I think they did what the 1989 Batman was attempting to, what Batman Begins was attempting to do, where it was like, if we don't make another one, it can butt up against the first one.
Sure.
But if it does well enough, then yeah, screw that.
Yeah, right. You know. And it did, and they did what they did.
Yeah, and so I think that their original plan was, well, if we only make one of these, or we only make two of these, or the third one kind of limps to the finish line, it'll match up, and we're good.
It's a great contained story.
Yeah, and that. But now that they're popular enough, I think you're going to get more of them. And I want more of them. These have been good.
So I guess my only question is, what's their conflict in 4? I mean, I guess your conflict would have to be apes against apes.
Well, it could be.
Yeah. You need to watch those other...
Or they just go for it and...
They just do Planet of the Apes.
They do the apes now are in the humans' role.
I think you'll start to see that the script kind of flip, you know, and that... You know, there's going to be more humans. They might have killed the military.
Right,
I think they destroyed what was left of human societal infrastructure, essentially. But there are still going to be
everywhere.
People out there.
Yeah, I guess you should see beneath the planet of the apes.
Oh.
But I think that I would love to see what it looks like when they try to rebuild a society.
Yeah.
Or not rebuild, but build a society for apes. I think that would be interesting, especially given how smart these movies can be. If these movies if these movies stay this smart, that sounds like an interesting story to me.
I agree.
And I know a lot of people were like, oh, it's a shame Andy Serkis is dead and you can't not as
I was like, he did?
but that, like, you know, oh, it's a shame that, like, we can't have him anymore. I'm like, why can we not have him anymore?
Roddy McDowall played Caesar and he played Cornelius.
And it's like,
really?
Yeah. And it's all motion capture anyway.
Yeah,
so let him play a new character.
Why be whoever he wants?
So you've lost
Caesar. Yeah, he could be Cornelius.
Yeah, you've lost Caesar, but you haven't lost Andy Serkis. I don't know why people think that's the case.
I think they have talked about, like, you know, if they move forward, it'll be Cornelius.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've been more evasive about
where Zaius comes
from. This lands with the original movie.
Yeah.
But they've been like, they were smart to not like rush into it, which
is
what happened with that remake.
Yeah.
It's like they just did a flat out remake and it was like, well, this is terrible.
And then they tried to have their flip on the twist and it was just,
did you ever see the Kevin Smith story about that?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, there's a... I'm not going to tell you the story. It's on An Evening with Kevin Smith, the Tim Burton story.
Yeah.
It is fantastic.
It is funny.
It's a great story.
So the tie-in that makes me think it's a soft reboot is that Bad Ape gives the girl a little name, a little front of a car. It's a Chevy Nova.
No, Maurice gives it to her.
Maurice gives it to her.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're in with Bad Ape, and he finds the little Chevy Nova.
That's the
Nova
only thing in this movie I was like...
Simple.
No.
Yeah, and so he's like, this is you, and it says Nova, and so in the original movie, the love interest, quote-unquote, of Charlton Heston is Nova, and so that's when I'm like, okay, so that was a wink and a nod.
Yeah.
This is a reboot, but a soft reboot. It's not going to tie right into the old movie.
So I guess you could say, I mean, if you want to do it, Charlton Heston could, I'm just saying, if you do it, you do 20 years. You put Nova, now she's 30, and then Charlton Heston shows up. Chris Pratt shows up.
I mean, they've so far you can still like watch these three movies and then the start.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can, because like, and you're saying in that other one that Nova is captive.
Well, they don't tie right in. See, that's it's also 2,000 years in the future.
I guess that's true. I know that like in the other ones it's Caesar is the son of Cornelius, but that doesn't mean
they flipped it. Yeah,
but that doesn't mean that this Caesar is that Caesar.
Exactly. That's true.
Like, families have names. They have name. Families have names.
Yeah, but Cornelius in the original movie is not like the head of the apes. He's just a lowly peasant.
Well, he's a scientist.
He is, but you know what I mean. Like if that was Cornelius, the son of Caesar, would be.
They're also in New York, so we've got a long way to go.
Yeah, there's a whole
long way to go.
All right, man. What if it's a prequel to Escape from New York?
Okay. So on that note, Dan, do you have a video recovery?
So out of all of the, you know, and looking at the original, you know, which is part of the sort of like the trilogy of three Charlton Heston post-apocalyptic movies.
Yeah.
The second one being Omega Man.
Yeah, that's a good flick.
Which is, you know, I Am Legend. And the third being Soylent Green.
And
which,
also, don't forget, he did the voiceover intro for Armageddon.
That's right.
He did?
Technically 4.
Yes.
Yeah. For the Bruce Willis Armageddon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen Swimming Like Green recently, it's a pretty, it's set in 2022. It's from 1973. So, of course, it's one of those movies like in a dark future that is 2022. And you're like, oh.
Yeah. Well, no, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like Star Wars Land didn't go quite according to plan.
Yeah. So I hadn't seen it in a long time. And basically, this entire movie sort of exists on its twist, you know. This
right.
is one of those movies is like it was a book that or a short story that was really well received. I think it won a Neptune Award, and I think they were looking to give Charlton Heston another movie where he could scream something at the end,
right? And got it wasn't
this,
a porn.
And this is it. I mean, it is all about that. But it's also the last appearance of Edward G. Robinson, who's this is a weird movie because it's a very quiet. It's sort of like a procedural drama that's set in the future, but they do a good job of like not making it seem like, you know, you get to see sort of like a pristine high tech future, but you also see sort of like the overpopulation, 40 million people living in New York City, malnourishment, and, you know,
oh sure,
everybody fighting for food future. And it basically evolves like the socialite is killed. And Charlton Heston's like a cop, and he thinks there's more to it than just like, why is this guy killed? So it's his investigation, and they slowly learn things. And if you haven't seen the movie, I mean, take it for what it is. It's 1973, but and it's only like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You know?
And the spoilers in our opening credits.
It is. I mean, yeah.
Anybody doesn't know the spoilers.
Right, yeah, it's how they end up to that point, finding that out it's actually pretty good. It's one of those ones that's like,
it's of its day, but it still holds up pretty well.
It does hold up pretty well, you know? I mean, and it's weird because this is one of those movies, as I was watching it, I was like, this is one of those movies, and Chuck Connors is kind of like the bad guy.
Yeah.
The heavy.
The rifleman.
Ooh. So you got, you got Chuck Heston and Chuck Connors, and they're duking it out. And you're like, this is one of those movies where, like, these guys said, I've done 1,000 of these pictures. I don't need a stuntman to show me what to do.
Even though I'm 60 now.
So they like, sort of like, when they have their fight, it's clear that they didn't even, like, plot or stage anything,
just
or
scuffle around a bit.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't like put the scene, lay the scene out or hit their marks. They just sort of like wrestle and high kick each other, and you're like,
they're hitting each other with their moobs.
Yeah. Just like, it's so
their girdles are coming undone.
It's the most awkward fight I've ever. It's like a couple old men like, I gotcha.
I still got it.
I kick you in the head.
I still got it.
But, you know, it's like the high kick where it's like, it's supposed to be like a kick to the head, but it's sort of like a kick to the
shin.
Yeah. So
it's the
David Lee Roth no longer high kick.
Right.
It is. It's
the high kick for your age.
Yeah. It's a very comical.
That's funny.
Unintentionally comical.
Maybe we should post that as the underrated fight scene.
Like, this one could use a little work, but check it out if you haven't seen it.
Cool. Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett and on ReviewSTL.com.
This is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at RogerKubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/TomO'Keefe. Don't forget, if you want to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers or on Twitter at RealSpoilers. You can also find us on iTunes, where you can rate, review, subscribe. So we appreciate that. It helps us tremendously. So that's it for this episode. I don't know what next week is, but we'll figure
Atomic
it out.
Wand.
Valerian.
Ooh. So we got two, maybe. So we'll have a fisticuffs about that.
Power.
So.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's get our high kicks ready.
Yes. At least you and me, Dan.
Let's start flexing.
They're younger than we are. So that's it for this time. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, Digit gets beheaded.
Here we come, walking down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around, but we're too big.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Is he singing to put anybody down? We go where we want to, do what we like to do.